We got some good competition tonight. You know, the selection show is on, and spring break. So thanks for the people who did come out, though. Tonight's lesson is on giving, and we're going to start with a quick little video clip, and then we'll get going. This is called God Pie, and I think you'll catch on really quick to the point, but we'll start with this.
ありがとう。 Brought the pie.
All right, so what'd you think of God Pie? Everybody got the moral of the lesson. Everybody got served first, right? And then I thought the best part was, there was a bunch of good observations, but how'd you like what the guy did for education? That was awesome. Like just, you know, a little bit, you know, just a smidge. But everybody got their piece first, and the punchline was the only line of the entire thing. Dude, he brought the pie. And so tonight our lesson is on giving. So far we've hit, after the introduction, biblical stewardship, debt, budgeting, and tonight's lesson is on giving. So let me ask a quick word of prayer and then we'll get going. Lord, just bless our time together tonight. Thank you, Father, for those who are here. And Lord, we know they're here for a reason. We just thank you for their effort to be out here. Bless our topic tonight on giving and help us to find something, Lord, that we can take with us and apply later. In your name, amen. All right, we'll jump right in here and kind of define a whole bunch of things in regards to giving. Our two key texts for tonight are going to be, can you guys hear me okay? This thing's always such a funky thing to wear, but our two key texts are Acts 20:35 and then Proverbs 3:9-10. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it's more blessed to give than receive, and then honor the Lord with your wealth. The first of all you produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with new wine. And before we get going, I'm going to kind of follow the same format I've done in all of our other lessons. You know, we'll define what is giving, what are some barriers to giving, what are some reasons we don't give. But I thought I'd start with just kind of my first point being that giving isn't something that just comes naturally to most of us. You know, we're really kind of this idea that we're natural born clutchers. And this is a really old picture of my son now, who's almost 8, 7 and a half. You know, you think about it from our, we're going to think about our hands for just a few minutes, and then we're going to contrast those to God's hands. But you think about us early on, we are natural born clutchers. You know, at birth, you know, we're ready to clutch on to things. As toddlers, you know, if we could have the toddlers come in here, what's one of the first words toddlers like to say? This is what? This is mine. You know, you think of middle school and all the things that we were holding on to in middle school. I remember I loved baseball cards. That's probably kids today, probably not baseball cards collections. And high school, you know, sports or girlfriends, boyfriends, you know, she's mine. Careers, we start at the lowest point on the ladder, right? We grasp that first rung. We start working our way up. Work our way up the ladder in our careers. And then in retirement, what's in our hands? Maybe golf clubs, fishing pole, you know, and in our final days, maybe canes and walkers. And when we contrast that with what's in our hands, you know, our sports, our fun, our things, contrast that with think about God's hands for just a minute by way of introduction. And, you know, you think about, you know, go back to Genesis, you know, he created the earth. He gave of his creation, right, to those that he created. In the Old Testament, Mark talked about it a little bit this morning, you know, all the times in the Old Testament the Israelites didn't obey, and all the ways that the Lord provided for them with manna from heaven. And take that on into the New Testament, and our biggest, you know, thing I think we should think about when we think about hands would be the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? On the cross, he did what? He opened his hands and was faithful, you know, even unto death. And, you know, I think of 2 Corinthians, you know, though he was rich for our sake, he became poor so that we, through his richness, or through his poverty, may become rich. And so, comparing our hands with the Lord's hands, this quote, I thought, summed it up pretty good. By our very nature, you and I are naturally born clutchers. We scrape and we claw. If we might just get ahead just a little bit, we hold on tight. We have a reflexive response when it comes to giving up something that is dear to us. No way, not even for God. And so, you know, at the beginning of this lesson, again, when we look at God's immense generosity, there's some things in us that I think need to change. And God will start by, I think, changing our hearts. So giving, again, we could probably debate this, but for most people, I would say giving isn't something that just comes naturally. Might not be one of those just natural gifts that we have. I don't think we're going to have time for this breakout session, but, you know, there's some Bible characters. If you go through and you think about Bible characters that were natural-born clutchers, you'll come up with quite a few. Zacchaeus would be one of the first ones we learned about when we were little kids in down there with the flannel graphs. Remember those things that they'd put up and they'd fall down and then they'd put them back up? Okay. But let's get right into the heart of our lesson. So it's not easy. We're not naturally born with this propensity to give, but let's talk about some types of giving, why we need to give, what tithe is, and we'll kind of see where the class takes us. And again, remember, this is an open session, so feel free to stop me, interrupt me at any time. We had some good dialogue, I thought, last week. So some types of giving. Probably the first type of giving that we all tend to think of is the tithe. And tithe means a tenth of all. So if you go back to Genesis, all throughout the Old Testament, so like this passage here, Genesis 14:20, that's where Abraham is commanded to give a tenth of all. And a tithe, really, that should be our starting point of giving back to the Lord. Kind of, I've heard some pastors call it the on-ramp to experiencing God's joy. This should be a kind of a starting point for us. Some of us were talking before the class started tonight about Old Testament, New Testament, you know, are we still under the law? No, we're not under the law, but never in the New Testament can you find a spot where we see the standard lowered. So I believe, you know, we could all talk and share personal viewpoints, but the tithe, the tenth, giving back a tenth, should be a starting point in our giving. And typically, we'll talk about where we're going to give, but the tithe really needs to go to your church, your local church, where you're being fed. There's a concept in some of the mega church scenario of this concept of storehouse giving. Anybody heard that term? Not something we really subscribe to here at Sailorville. That's the idea that the only place you can give is your church. That would not be this class. We're going to talk about different places that we give, whether it be special needs, offerings, others in our small groups. And so, but the tithe, when we think of the tithe means a tenth, and typically a tithe is to our church. And then another type of giving would be our offering. And an offering is something that typically is above and beyond our tithe. And that Deuteronomy passage is one that you're probably familiar with, but basically that we are to give according to the blessing that God has given to us. And so there's times where I think we do need to be giving above and beyond our tithes, and that would be what we call an offering. And then the last type of giving that we're going to talk about, and we'll come back and flesh these out a little bit more, is sacrificial giving. And sacrificial giving, I kind of defined up there, is giving up something we want because we see somebody else with a greater need. And probably one of the most famous passages in the Bible that talks about that would be, you think of the church in Macedonia. I think it's like 2 Corinthians, the latter part of 2 Corinthians 8. We're going to get to that, but they were under this great affliction as a church, and they actually gave out of their poverty. And so sacrificial giving, and I think there's times that we all have a chance to give when we see somebody that is in greater need than we are right now. Another thing we should probably discuss right off the top here is we all have more than we need, don't we? I mean, we live in the greatest country and the greatest land. We all, anybody here hungry? Maybe there are some people here hungry, I don't know. We're all doing pretty good, right? You're all wearing clothes, you're all driving a car. So we have been very, very, very blessed. But when we think of sacrificial giving, if you got your pencil handy, you can write down a couple of these verses. Let's start in the Proverbs. Proverbs 14, and I'll just read these off. Proverbs 14, verse 31 says, "He who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy, the Lord will honor." Proverbs 19, 17, let's keep going with this. Proverbs 19, 70, "One who is gracious to the poor man lends to the Lord, and the Lord God will repay him for his good deeds." Proverbs 28:27. Proverbs 28:27. "He who gives to the poor will never want, but he who shuts his eyes will have many curses." And so there's a ton of stuff throughout Scripture where we can see that when we see a need, if we have the ability, we need to be giving and helping out. Enough of me talking. What's one of the first groups you think of in our church that we need to be, the Bible commands us to make sure we're watching out for? Widows. Widows. Let's go to, if you're writing down notes in your notes, 1 Timothy, when we talk about widows, 1 Timothy 5, and I'll read it here, if I can find 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 5, 16, I believe it is. Is that right? Yeah, if any woman who is a believer has a dependent widow, let's assist them in the church so they must not be a burden. Assist those widows who are in need. Another verse in that same passage of 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So certainly the widows, we're admonished several times throughout Scripture to make sure that we are taking care of those that are in need, and that would be our widows. To stay with 1 Timothy on this first slide here, another great verse that pops out to me in regards to giving would be like 1 Timothy 6, 1 Timothy 6, 18 and 19, and that, let's actually, even verse 17 is great. "Instruct those that are rich in this present world not to be conceited, not to fix their hope on the uncertainty of their wealth or riches, but on God, who richly supplies them with all things to enjoy." And then here's the warning. Instruct them to be good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, to be ready to share, storing up for themselves treasure on the good foundation of hope so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. And so, types of giving, tithe, and we're going to talk about that a little more, offering, sacrificial giving. We should be taking care of widows. We should be taking care of those that are in greater need. One more passage before we get off the slide. 1 John 3:17-18. That's another passage that I think of when I think of giving, and that is, but whoever has the world's goods and sees a brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? So, wow, if we're turning our heart to those that we know are in greater need, there's something wrong there. So giving, again, something that does not come naturally, certainly doesn't come naturally to me. I want to, you know, here we had a pretty fearful week in the market. Market was up, down. Man, I want to hold on to what I got. However, the Lord, throughout Scripture, encourages us to be giving. One question I get a lot as a planner, as I talk to different Christian clients, is what tithing is and what tithing isn't. And let's define that. Tithing is not a tip for good service. So in other words, too many of us, I think, give based on how we feel about how things are going at the church. And that's you don't see that throughout Scripture. Tithing is a command that we should be giving. And so not, you know, hey, great sermon, Pastor Pat, you know, great worship set. I feel served, so I'll give this week. No, that's not tithing. Tithing is also not a religious tax. This is not some kind of a fee you pay to be in this great country club and get to hang out with all you good people. That's not tithing. Tithing is giving back unto the Lord. So that could mean that you have some issue in your small group or whatever, or you don't feel good this week about the church. Should you still give? Absolutely. We're giving back as unto the Lord, a small portion of what he's entrusted us. Tithing is not, you know, a legalistic test of my performance. And so sometimes we get, you know, the questions of, you know, do I give 10% of my gross, my net? What about all these scenarios? You know, I don't think the Lord is setting this up as a legalistic test of our performance. Hopefully our giving flows out of our heart as a love and a recognition that, Lord, everything you've given me is yours. It should be an outflow, not this legalistic test. It's not just a privilege of the rich. And this is one that kind of bugs me. Sometimes I'll hear little comments like, oh, you know, that family, boy, they've done really well. They should, you know, we gotta get after this. We got the big thermometer. Anybody remember those churches where you'd have like the thermometers or the building blocks at the front of the church? You know, we gotta get the thermometer up to, no one knows what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm starting to see some nods. Giving, tithing, sacrificial giving, offering, it's not just a performance of those that have money. It's something that's for all of us. Another two things you could contrast, if you wanted to think back later this week in your own time about this lesson on giving, you could contrast those two parables of, you know, the widow's mite. People are pretty familiar with that story, the widow's mite. She gave everything. She gave all she had. And a good contrasting parable with that would be the parable of the rich young ruler. Everybody familiar with that one? That would be a good parable. But it's not just a privilege of the rich. And it's not, lastly, it's not a guarantee for a smooth life. We don't give for, you know, if I'm giving, surely everything's going to be good, right, Steve? Not so, you know. Is it John 16:33 or Matthew 16:33? In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, the Lord says. I've overcome the world. And so, Warren Wiersbe, who used to come to Cedarville every year when I was there, that must be Matthew 16:33. It's not John. It is John? Okay. Warren Wiersbe used to come to Cedarville every year when I was there, and I always loved having him come as a preacher to preach in chapel, but he wrote a little book in the 70s. It's a great book if you ever want to read, called The Bumps Are What You Climb On. And really, you know, in life, you look back at your Christian life, just because you're giving, you know, never have you heard Pastor Pat or any of the pastors around here teach any kind of prosperity type gospel of if you're giving, certainly then everything's going to be good. Not necessarily. Again, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so tithing's not, it's not a tip, it's not a tax, it's not a legalistic test, it's not just for people who have money. It's not a guarantee for a smooth life. When do we give? You know, we don't give when just the conditions are just perfectly right. So my 401k is fully funded. I've maxed out my Roth for the year. I feel good about my debt situation, so I'll give. No, we give systematically out of what we're getting, out of our first fruits. We'll look at some verses, and you've heard those verses about we give of our first fruits. Steve, I give what I can, you know, based on what's left over. Well, that's a bad scenario. Go back to our God pie video. If you're not doing a good job and you don't have margin in your life, what's not left over? So this would be one of those things to go back to our week on budgeting where hopefully you've got a line item in your budget of this is money that I've, you know, this 10% is going back to the Lord. So I give not what I can based on what left over. When do I give? I give when I remember. You know, I got a lot going on. My life, I'm pretty maxed out. Well, that's not a good thing either. I give, this is my favorite one, the super spiritual dude. I give when I feel the Spirit leading me to give. I don't know. I'm going to leave that one alone because I could probably get myself in trouble with Pastor Abe in the front row saying something I shouldn't. But no, we don't give. We give out of the recognizing the generosity of what the Lord's done for us. And so there, that could mean I'm giving even when I don't really feel like giving. But God has promised to bless a cheerful giver. I give when I have to. So in other words, when I have the pressure, when I got the new building fund offering envelopes, when I see the thermometer up there, that's when I give. I give when I need some blessing in my life. These are, hopefully you're catching on, these are not really good reasons of when we give. Pastor Pat loves to quote this guy, Jim Elliot. Anybody saw that movie? I have not seen it, but I've heard it's really good. But one of his most famous quotes, you know, he's no fool who gives what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. So why should I give? We've talked about, you know, some conditions, what tithing is not, the types of giving. Let's talk a little bit about why I should give. And the first one is it's a command, not a suggestion. And so we're going to talk about Malachi 3:8-10 here in a minute. And that's, it's a command that we give, not really a suggestion. Number two, God does promise to bless. The passage I think of there typically is Luke 6. Let me just read a couple of these to you. Luke 6:3-8. Maybe I put down the wrong. Oh yeah, 6:38. Sorry. Yeah, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Give, and it will be given to you. We do, throughout Scripture, God does promise to bless. Again, we're not giving solely for the blessing, but he does promise to give. God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. And there's many verses that talk about, you know, God loving a cheerful giver. Number four, it's an act of recognition. If you're writing down in your notes, it is an act of recognition that God ultimately is the owner. And this giving draws our heart to him. And so, you know, hopefully as you're giving back, even if it hurts to write that check or the emergency fund isn't exactly what it needs to be or there is a little bit of debt, it's an act that, Lord, everything we have is yours. We're recognizing that. Fifthly, we give to be like our Heavenly Father. You know, he set the ultimate example. You think of 2 Corinthians 8, but probably the first verse I think of, back to my flannel graph days with the things that would fallen off, was the first verse we all memorized? A lot of us. John 3, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so one of the reasons that we give is to be like our Heavenly Father who gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. He set the example. So a couple other passages that you could look at there would be like 2 Corinthians 8:9. And I had all these marked with little tabs, but I think Colin helped remove some of the tabs from my marked Bible here. It's good to have help from your little guy. 2 Corinthians 8:9. we've talked about that before. But for you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. 1 John 3:17. 1 John 3:17. Yeah, whoever is rich in the world's goods and sees a brother in need and closes his heart, how does the love of God even abide in him? So we want to be like our Heavenly Father who set that example. And then lastly, another reason we should be giving is to be investing for eternity and versus just accumulating more earthly possessions. And, you know, I remember I was having a conversation with Pastor Pat one time after one of his messages that I might not have agreed with everything. And I remember his response back to me was just something about Matthew 6:20 or 6:21 and further on of, you know, just that verse we all know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Be investing eternally versus, well, I get so focused on what's happening in my little world here on earth that hopefully we're sending treasures on ahead. One of the most famous books that have been written in recent years on giving is Randy Alcorn's book, The Treasure Principle. We talked about it one night in our small group. Hopefully, how many of you read that book? That little teeny tiny book, couple? Abe and Jen's. Great, great book, The Treasure Principle. Easy read, isn't it, guys? But basically, Randy Alcorn goes through the scriptures and he talks about his own story where he was really humbled. He was, how does it start? He was basically, he was like a demonstrator at an abortion clinic. And he got sued and had the biggest settlement ever against him to where basically he had to take everything out of his name. Isn't this kind of how it starts, gents? Had to take everything out of his name, and the Lord really stripped him of all pride that everything that he has is the Lord's. And so to this day, the guy lives on minimum wage, had to get everything out of his name. He's got like two $10 million judgments against him. Fascinating story. So I would encourage you to read the book, The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. But the Lord used these circumstances of being sued so heavily that it really gave him a great testimony and a great book to write. So why to give? We give because it's a commanded. We give because God does promise to bless, because God loves a cheerful giver, because it's some recognition. Each Sunday as I put that in the offering plate, I'm recognizing, Lord, this isn't my stuff. To be like our Heavenly Father who set the example, and to be investing for an eternity, not just here on earth. And so probably one of the most famous passages on giving, though, that a lot of us go to is Malachi. Really, that whole chapter 3, 8 through 10. But the verse that I highlighted here was, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. And so I've heard pastors say over the years that there's not too many areas, I don't think there's any other area besides giving, where we're actually encouraged to test God. Probably not a good idea in other areas. But this is one area where I would challenge you. You know, I wasn't a huge Jerry Falwell fan, but remember the guy from Liberty? I think he's passed away now, but he used to call it spiritual math. Like, he would challenge his college students, test the Lord in this. You give, and you show up a year later, and if you're not better off, so test the Lord in this area. The Lord has promised to provide. I think this is really one area, giving, where you absolutely can test him. So if you're not giving a full 10%, I would start there. We're going to get to some surveys of our class based off the survey sample we have, but start there. Start with the tithe. Martin Luther, here's a slide from the other class, old dead guys. But Martin Luther, great quote, you know, man needs to have three conversions. First, the conversion of his heart, then of his head, and lastly of his purse. And so this is a battle that's going to go on. Again, we're born, natural born clutchers. It's not something that most people don't just have this wonderful gift that it's going to be easy throughout all of life. But hopefully some testimonies are created. I mean, if we went around the room and passed the mic, I'm sure there's been times where, again, spiritual math. You've been faithful, and the Lord has just provided again and again. And looking back, it's easy to see, back to that Warren Wiersbe quote, you know, the bumps are what you climb on. Some of those rockiest times, the Lord was closest to you. So, three conversions. Head, heart, head, and lastly of the wallet. So where do we give? Because obviously there's lots of places you can give, right? I don't know that we go through, you know, we talked about marketing the week where we did budgeting, but think of all the areas you're asked to give today. Let's just fire off. Where are some areas you've been solicited to give? Red Cross. United Way. Yeah, my work, man, they come and about beat your door down for United Way. Christian Radio all the time, absolutely. Missions. I got two emails this week. I don't know if it was the Lord working on me knowing that I was going to give this lesson, but I got two emails this week from missionaries that are friends that have financial needs. Missions. I didn't hear anybody say the fire department. Man, West Des Moines, those guys like somehow get your cell phone numbers. They will track you down, smoke signals. It doesn't matter. They will find you and you will give because you want to be protected if there's a fire, right? So where to give? I would say the place that we should start is the local church, right? We should give where we're being fed. And that goes back to our tithes. And I think biblically, again, it'd be fascinating if you had, you know, Mark or Pat come up here, but I think they can make a very good case that you should be giving your tithe to where you're being fed. Other places we can give would be other Christian ministries, and I put a little caveat on there. Other Christian ministries that are fulfilling the Great Commission. You know, with our church's focus on the gospel, you know, this passage, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, I think this is the go and make disciples passage, but If you are giving to a Christian ministry, I would hope, like Christian Radio, for instance, great place to give. Hopefully it's one that would be focused on the Great Commission. And then lastly, another place that we all can give would just be those in need. And we talked about it earlier, especially the widows, orphans. And hopefully the Lord, you know, maybe even just through this lesson, I'm going to have a challenge for you at the end, but are you even... How can I say this nicely? Because I've been told many times I don't have political correctness like I should. But are you even open to needs around you? Are you even recognizing them? Are you so caught up in self that you're not even recognizing them? If you think about going through a week, whether it's your small group, whether it's your coworkers, if you really, really open your eyes, even this week, and I think that's going to be my challenge for you in the end, is that this week you open your eyes and really look for opportunities and maybe even pray for somebody that has a need that you'd find a way to meet it. Now, this doesn't have to be some huge, huge financial thing, but maybe it's a need of a coworker who's in need of a ride because their car is getting an oil change. But if you really open up your eyes, I think we would find there are many people in need around us. And so where to give starts with your church. Tithe, a tenth, and then other Christian ministries that are fulfilling the Great Commission, that are focused on the gospel, and then also those that are in need. At Living Waters Fellowship, we would have these breakout sessions, but in a group like this, it just doesn't work as well. But so just holler out if you have something. But what are some wrong motives of giving? We've already kind of defined those. Anybody ever think of a wrong motive of giving? Tax deduction? Yeah, I mean... Do you get a tax deduction for your charitable giving? Yes. Should we be giving only because of our tax deduction? Absolutely not. Great. Thanks, gents. Another wrong motive for giving. Guilt. That would be one, Ryan, that I would fall under at times of, you know, am I giving out of the overflow of my heart and my love for the Lord, or am I giving because I'm going to feel guilty that I know I'm robbing God? So yeah, hopefully my giving isn't because of my tax deduction that I so desperately need, or my guilt, or giving to get. What does it mean to give of our first fruits? Hopefully that's pretty self-explanatory, but hopefully it is our first fruits. What the Lord has blessed you with, I think we should give. You know, I'll get questions all the time. Well, what if I get a gift from my grandma's estate? She left me some money, and they had paid tithe on that. The Lord knows your hearts. I think we can get way legalistic about this. The Lord knows your hearts, so you define it for you. Gents, you gotta.
I think on that, you need to not think of God as the IRS, not as blind.
Yeah. Giving out of our hearts, yeah, and the Lord knows our hearts. I appreciate your comment, Ryan. Giving out of guilt doesn't work. But our first fruits, you know, what we're bringing in, what our labor is bringing in. You know, Larry Burkett, if he was here, his famous line was always, you know, do you want a gross blessing or a net blessing? To people, financial people like me, that's hilarious. might not be for you, accountants and CPAs. You know, do you want a net blessing? Do you want a gross blessing? I would like a gross blessing. So, you know, do we tithe from our gross or our net wages? You know, I think we tithe from our first fruits. What has a higher priority, debt repayment or giving? Real life story that happened to me recently. Pastor Kevin had asked me to talk to somebody in the church that was just having a tough time and encourage, and part of it was financial stuff. And, you know, never in Scripture can I see the Lord say, well, you know, stop giving for a little while until you have this credit card debt paid off. I can't find that. And so I hope you're getting out of debt? Absolutely. As a financial planner, nothing brings me more joy than when Visa and MasterCard are getting the short end of the stick. But yeah, should you have an adequate emergency fund, be getting out of debt, you know, be all those things? Absolutely. But hopefully we're not robbing God ever. Hopefully our giving isn't a condition of, is everything in our financial life right now or not? How about this? What if a husband and wife disagree on tithing? What should we do there? It's a tough one. Jeremy, you look like you have an answer that you want me to bring the mic. No, I'm just kidding. That's a really hard one. I mean, I would hope that in our marriages we find a good way to communicate. And so I've had questions from people before where the wife is on fire for the Lord and the husband isn't. I think that gets to be really, really tough. But the Lord ultimately doesn't need our money, does he? He needs our hearts. And so hopefully as a husband and wife we can find some agreement. Storehouse giving, yeah, our church, that's the concept of only giving to Sailorville Baptist Church. I can't find that anywhere in Scripture. Should our tithe be going to where we're being fed? Absolutely. Should we be recognizing needs in our own congregation, whether it's missions, wee ones? I mean, there's some great opportunities to give, right? Again, if our eyes are open to seeing. Here's some stuff that should blow you away. So who should give? All of us. The Barna Group did a study. And it wasn't 2004, it was like 2007, but the Barna Group claims that 37 people who go to church regularly give nothing. Nada, zero, zilch, nothing. So one place to start would be, you know, just getting under Scripture and learning more about it. They also claim in the same study, which I don't know, that's wrong, but that 9% of born-again Christians tithe 10% of their income. That's a scary statistic, too. Seems low to me. And then the one that is, to me, the most staggering statistic of everything I'm going to share with you tonight is Howard Dayton, who's the retired and the co-founder of Crown, states that in all of his research over the many years, remember we had that Howard Dayton clip, Nightline clip? He claims that right now in our churches, most of the giving comes from people over 65, and he estimates that it takes 5 couples under 35 to replace the giving of 1 senior couple. And the reason that scares me as a, I guess I'm 35, so it applies to me, but, you know, where is that ultimately going to take our church if we're not training up and teaching our kids to give? I mean, I can tell you where it takes it. We need, you know, for the sake of the gospel, our church needs resources to do this building project, to hire the awesome pastors that we have, and on and on. And so hopefully that's not a statistic of our church, but pretty scary stat, isn't it? R.G. Letourneau, the guy that founded Letourneau University, you know, I always try to shovel out more to God than God shovels out to me, but God wins because he's got a bigger shovel. Great quote, I think. He was the guy that's credited with inventing the reverse tithe. Everybody heard of the reverse tithe? I can't imagine. It's crazy. But the reverse tithe is, at the end of his life, he lived on 10% and he gave 90. Wow, what an awesome thing. So what are some barriers to giving? I would say the number one barrier, without question, is fear. The reason we don't give, the reason we can have stats like that, is fear. Fear by far. Fear because maybe we don't have enough margin in our life, or what happens if this happens, or what happens if that happens. And so don't let that be you. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear or timidity. Greed and self-centeredness, I think, are a barrier to giving at times. You know, what I need next. If I give this, I might not have enough money for my need. Improper attitudes, you know, well, my parents never gave, or my, you know, all the different improper attitudes that come. Paycheck to paycheck living, just no margin, that's a barrier to giving. You know, if you've got no room for error in your life, it's hard to give. I mean, 10% is a big number, right? But it's what we're commanded to do. So that's why we're encouraging you to find out a way to have margin. It's not that I'm saying saving for retirement's wrong. Absolutely, the opposite. I want you to be doing all that, but I want you to have in your budget a way that you're giving regularly and you're creating margin. Remember, we define margin as the difference between your load and your limits. And so we got to get that emergency fund. We got to get some margin. Quick sidebar story. I think we got a little bit of time. You're looking at a celebrity. This week I was interviewed. Now I'm just being extremely facetious, but this week I got a call out of the blue from an attorney. I'm like, what in the world? This guy, attorney from St. Paul. And he said, hey, Steve, I ran into so-and-so. I was in a meeting in Tucson, Arizona a couple weeks back, and I was having a conversation with an industry executive who works in Minneapolis. And we both had worked late and we're getting to lunch late, so everybody's gone. So it's just me and him. And we were talking about this class that I'm doing and my views on debt and what God has to say. And anyway, he shared it with somebody else who shared it with somebody else. And the next thing you know, after this phone call started, I'm on the phone with an interview, a personal financial columnist for the Chicago Tribune. They're doing an article on debt, and specifically debt and retirement. And because of this series of conversation, I was the expert they picked to interview. Scary. And there was an attorney on the phone with me that was listening to my, and it was being recorded. So anyway, if that does get published, and it could be syndicated in, you know, Phoenix, like whoever this lady worked for, it could be syndicated. So if it gets published and it's a good quote, I'll let you know. If it's horrible, I don't know. It was a 20-minute call. But at one point in the conversation, I talked about, you know, debt is absolutely a form of slavery. And the phone got really, really still, really, really quiet. And the lady was like, excuse me? And I went into kind of what God's word has to say. And at one time she talked about a proverb, and I said, well, yeah, you know, that's God's word. And a lot of what we have as just good principles came from what God's word says. And so I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but anyway, I'll let you know if I'm in the Chicago Tribune. But paycheck to paycheck living, no margin. And then debt constraints. You know, if you're burdened with debt, it is much harder to give because you have that excuse of, oh man, I got this, I got that. And so these are very true barriers to giving. Fear, greed, improper attitudes, paycheck to paycheck living, debt constraints. I love this quote from Pastor Billy Graham. You know, give me 5 minutes with a person's checkbook and I'll tell you where their heart is. So my viewpoints on the topic, and these are personal viewpoints. Remember, you know, God is faithful. If we'll follow him, if we'll just trust him in this area, and maybe you don't like that word test, but even test him, that the Lord will provide. You know, Ephesians 3:20, he is God who is able to do far more than we can ever ask and think. And so, secondly, don't expect to have a real biblical view of money or a biblical view of giving unless you first really fully surrender to God. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You're never going to have this view of giving if you haven't gotten to a point in your own life that you recognize that this stuff isn't ours, that the Lord has entrusted to us. So some key questions and some thoughts, and then we're going to kind of wrap up with some humor, a lame attempt at humor on my part, but some key questions that I challenge myself with. This was a challenging lesson to get ready for because giving has not always been an area of great success in my life, but I'm trying to make it one. But is my giving a duty or is it a delight? Back to what Ryan said, am I giving because of I feel guilty, I got to do this? Or am I giving because of what Jen said? You know, I need the tax deduction. Is it a duty or is it a delight? Is it coming out of an overflow in my heart? You know, and have I prayed? This is a novel thought. You know, have I prayed about my finances and specifically my giving? You know, this is a prayer of mine. Lord, teach me and help me to be able to trust you enough to increase my ability to give sacrificially. Or when I get that email from that missionary who I know really could use it, that I don't just sit on it for a week like I did. I did ask my wife about it, but that I respond, that I'm at a spot where I respond and I help. So the big idea of tonight's lesson is really that giving breaks down this power that money has over me. God certainly wants my heart, our heart, not just our money. And some kind of optional digging deeper, if you're a reader, that Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn is just a phenomenal book. I have it. I'm glad to loan it to you. I think Kurt Hassan of my cell group's got it right now, but I can get it to you. It's a small book. It's good for those of us with ADD. You can read it in like one setting, can't you? I mean, it's a small book. Mover of Men and Mountains is a great book, too. It's a little bit bigger. So some homework that I mentioned. The homework this week, and this is optional homework. There will be no grade. There will be no accountability on my end. But I would challenge you to pray that this week you're open to find somebody who has a need and then make an attempt to fill it. It doesn't necessarily have to be a financial need, but be open to be looking for people who need help. And then secondly, test God. And you know, in this one area, you know, I challenged myself and everyone in our initial class back that we did to tune up their giving to a true 10% of their gross income throughout the remaining weeks of the class. And this isn't a test of our generosity, but of God's. And it was interesting. I can't remember when we did our first class here. It's been probably at least four years ago. But I got some really interesting reports back from people in the class who this had been a challenge for, and they did. They got it right, and they started giving 10%, and how that spiritual math thing just seemed to work out. They weren't worse off. They weren't, you know, living in their car or a van down by the river. So I would encourage you, if you're not giving what you need to, make a change. Class survey, this survey sample is pretty small. It was like 20, I think we ended up getting back 21 or 22. But of our class, the giving questions that we had, 56% of the class said, yes, I'm giving a tithe of 10% or more. So that left 44 that were between 2 and 7%. So I commend everybody in the room. At least our class, where no one was giving zero, zilch, nada. 90% were giving to some other charities and nonprofits outside of the local church, which that's a high statistic. So recognizing other people that are in need. And then 82% in that survey said they were giving to special offerings and things that we have, whether it be building fund, wee ones. And that was a question I just got last week. Building fund, would that be part of our tithe, or would that be an offering? This is a question. I have kind of an answer, but anybody want to take a stab at it? I would say it's a heart thing. You know, some would say it's an offering, some would say it's above and beyond. Certainly, I would say this. My challenge to you would be, I'll state the over extreme. It wouldn't say I can suspend my regular giving to give to the building fund. That would not be good, would it, Pastor Abe, our pastor of administration, if we all said, well, I'm not going to give an offering anymore, I'm just going to give to the building fund. So hopefully, we're giving in both of those areas, because we do have a very exciting building fund opportunity coming up. So class survey. You know, my exhortation would be, you know, keep working on getting to 10%. Our final thought, my dad had to make one quote out of 7 weeks, and this was the one quote he got in. You got to give him a little bit of props, a little love. He's my dad, so. Our giving reflects our love for the Lord and a recognition of his generosity and all he's done for us. And so, you know, let me state it this way to you. If your giving is rather anemic and you're on that 2 to 4%, your view of the cross, your view of the gospel, your view of what God's doing in your life is probably anemic also. You know, the magnitude of what God has done for us should compel us to be giving cheerfully, And so our giving reflects, just like my dad said, our love for the Lord and a recognition of all his generosity and what he's done for us. Let me stop with one quick skit here at the end to talk about different types of giving, and then we'll open it up for some comments if we have just a couple minutes. Let me see if I can get over to this, all right? Technology is great when it works. Come on, computer. I wish I had some traveling music, but I don't. All right, maybe we're not. It's kind of hard to see that. All right, here we go. Take four.
I give to God by enjoying what he has given me, okay? I mean, do you really think he expects something back? Now, I know there's a lot of people at church that would not understand this line of reasoning. That's why, just to make things simple and not to cause any controversy, I like to carry what I call the little empty envelope, all right? You see, when the plate gets passed, I bloop, put it in there like that. The deacon's counting the money. They only know me as the crazy empty envelope guy, but the people sitting around me, clueless. I win, they win, God wins. No one gets hurt because no one knows.
God knows.
Huh? Let me ask you a question, huh? How's your mutual fund? Hey, for that matter, how's all your funds? Has the fund left your funds? Huh? Has your do-re-mi taken a W-A-L-K, huh? What if I told you that I knew about an investment you could make that the return would be mind-boggling? And it's promised. It's guaranteed. I know what you're saying. There's no guarantees. This one's guaranteed, okay? Malachi 3:10. That's what it says in the Old Testament. It says, test me, give to God, and he will give you back. It goes like this. I give this, he gives this. I give this, he gives this. I give this. Right up there. He keeps giving. I can't outgive God. How crazy is that? Do I love him? Sure, whatever. I'm just saying, if you give, he gives back. I tithe. But just not like in the form of a 10% check, per se. Let me tell you what I mean. When I go to church on a Sunday morning, they're selling donuts, I buy some. Boom. That's a tithe. When my whole Sunday school class wants donuts, and I, out of the goodness of my heart, buy a whole bunch for the Sunday school class, boom. That's another tithe. But it's not about me spending money. It's about the smile on people's faces. That, my friends, is tithe enough for me. Case in point, the church was having date nights where we could take our spouse out for an evening, and they were charging $25 for childcare. Boom shakalaka tithe. I'll tell you what the biggest tithe was. When I spent over $100 on our meal, and my wife was grinning ear to ear, that, my friend's a tithe.
I would like to give. I would, okay? But everything right now is just crazy. I mean, just crazy, you know? I mean, not normal crazy, really crazy, you know? And if after I paid my bills and took care of the things that I need and want, then I would consider giving something, but not now's crazy. We're going to give later. We've already talked about it. I mean, down the road, we'll be crazy givers, but right now, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I have money, that's a fact. But you know what? It's a heart thing between me and the Lord and the pastor, because he needs to know what I'm giving now that we have this little building campaign going on, if you know what I'm saying. And pastor, I'd give a little bit more. I'd give a little something if you'd have that music minister sing a couple more hymns now and then, huh? Hey, what's this? Watch this. Is that a Benjamin? I think it is. Benji likes hymns. Come on. You want it? Come on, pastor. Do what I say, huh?
Oh, in my life, Lord, be glorified in me. I put money in the plate. Wait. Look what I have here. My poor doesn't interfere. That everyone can hear how I give with cheer, that everyone could be like me.